Welcome to the podcast. My name is Jamie Knight, and I'm a realtor with Real Broker right here in Cajun Country, Lafayette, Louisiana. The goal of this podcast is to provide massive value by bringing insider access to our area's top agents and find out how they've been able to achieve massive success in their business. My hope is that you take a few things away from their experiences to grow your own business. My guest today is a friend and fellow realtor, Scott Gaspard. Scott is a top producer from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and runs the top small REMAX team in Louisiana. Scott has consistently sold over 100 homes per year since 2013. Welcome to the podcast, Scott.
Hey, welcome. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man, it was exciting. We got to have a little breakfast and hang out and get to kind of catch up. I wanted to share, you know, your story with our listeners because you have an amazing story of success, and how you do your business is amazing, and it's totally going to resonate with a lot of people. So, Scott, tell us a little bit about your family and how you got into the real estate business.
Hey, well, I'm the lucky husband of the love of my life, Jessica, for 24 years. I have we have 13 beautiful children.
Awesome.
And I've been selling real estate since 1998.
Nice, nice. Awesome. So yeah, you sell a lot of houses. We said in the intro, you sell over 100 houses a year. So tell me a little bit about the production, because you have a lot of kids, sell a lot of houses.
That's exactly right. So nobody more motivated than the guy with 13 kids.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us a little bit about kind of how you generate your business, and tell us how you get to that crazy number, because that's an amazing number of production, and you've been doing that for a long time. So tell us how you run your business and how you got to that number.
You know, obviously it didn't start out year one that way. Just took a career of constantly paying attention to the methods and practices of what we do, constantly refining. So
yeah,
a big part of what I do, I know that we're going to talk about this morning, is staying in contact with my database on a regular basis.
Right, right. And how do you do that?
The number one way I do that is by phone calls. And
nice.
So it's got some looseness to how I do it. When they come to mind, if I'm driving through a neighborhood and I pass by a home, I'll pick up the phone and give that person a call. If I'm driving around and they pop in my mind, I'll just give them a call. We've got a lot of road time in this business. And so to be a little strategic with it, what I'll do is I'll pull up a past year's sales and have a list with me. And while I'm riding through town, headed to an appointment, try to be purposeful to call in at least 10 people a day to make a connection.
Nice, nice. So what are you saying on those phone conversations with those past clients? Like, what? Tell us a little bit about how that dialogue looks.
Generally, I just check in on them, see how they're doing, ask how the family's going, how's work, how's the house been treating them. That generally is going to, they're going to return the same type of questions to me, so I get to share a little bit about my life. And at the end of it, I'll try to wrap up offering something of value, whether it's, you know, if it's a newer transaction, remind them to file for their homestead exemption if they maybe had forgotten. If it's a past client, if it's been a few years removed, I would offer something of value, something like, rather than, you know, picking a name out of a hat when it's time to get a painter, electrician, a handyman, a fence guy, always feel free to use me as a resource. We have a good book of vendors that we use on a regular basis.
Nice, nice. So they're always thinking about you for real estate. When it comes to any real estate need around the house, you're going to be their guy.
Anything real estate, I want them to give me a call. And so I think it's super important to start that phone call process not too soon after the closing. So have a system to where you have post-sale conversations early on. It's really easy to continue that on for years.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Because sometimes as realtors, we get a little bit far removed from the sale, and then it's awkward to have that conversation because you hadn't talked to them in a little while.
Yeah, 10 years later or 5 years later, hey, Joe,
hey,
how's
Joe,
it going?
Remember me? I'm the guy who sold your house. Yeah,
that seems a little awkward.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
don't hesitate. You got to get in at some point, so just give them a call. I've actually encouraged somebody to say, you know what, just say, instead of not calling them 5 years later, just get started with a new program. If you're interested in doing this, is just call them up and say, you know what, I have a new way I'm living life. If you come to, if somebody's pops into my mind, I'm going to go ahead and give them a call, and you popped in my mind. How's it going?
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Nice. I like that. And one thing you're doing too, cause we had talked about this, is you're not really the guy who says, hey, by the way, if you ever need me, or if you ever need a realtor, call me, you know, whatever, like, tell me a little, expand on kind of like that whole, like, are you asking for the business and the call or not?
some people's method is to do that. They call at the end, close with the ask for business. And so my method has been the opposite of that. So I don't want to taint the relationship call with a transactional feel to it. And so I'll just call and have a conversation like I'm talking to a friend. If by chance I get an expression of gratitude where they thank me for working with them or thank me for doing a good job, that's a pivotal moment where I'll then turn around and ask for the referral. You know, something like, thank you so much for helping me find the home. It's been such a great house for our family. I'll say, well, thank you guys. If you ever know of anybody looking to buy or sell a house in the Baton Rouge area, throw my name in the hat. I've got a lot of kids to feed.
Yeah, absolutely. And little Johnny needs shoes.
That's
poor
right.
Baby's been walking around with no shoes on.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that. Yeah, so tell us a little bit more about, I guess, how you connect with your clients in other ways other than just the phone. Like, is there some other ways that you're connecting with your clients?
We have them on a rhythmic email. I know that a lot of folks do that. So they're hearing from us. They're getting emails from us. We do mail outs, the phone calls. We have outdoor advertisements. So we've used the bus benches, whether you love them or hate them. It's been useful in our market. I have those strategically placed around town. And so, you know, that's some of our fundamental touches that we have.
Gotcha. One thing, too, we had talked about is for many years, you kind of went from selling about 50 houses to kind of the 1 year you had the major jump from 50 to 100. Talk to us a little bit about what changed that year that you went from selling 50 to now selling 100, because it happened right over the course of about a year. You went from selling 50 to then selling 100. So tell us about how that what happened in that year in your mind and in your business that changed in that year.
It was pivotal. So I was, in those days, I was about 50 homes, 50 transactions a year, and happy doing it. And so each year, though, I wanted to grow and grow. So I started out in the business. I think I sold 13 my first year, and then it grew, and then 18 and 20s and all the way up. And once I hit 50, the market was shifting. That was like 2006 and 7 and 8, and we all know that was a hard season from 9 to 12. I was able to maintain the 50 in that space, but I lost the desire to grow it beyond 50. I was happy with what I was getting out of the business from a 50 standpoint, 50 transactions, but I really need to figure out how do I put less in the business, how can I refine my business in a way that it doesn't take as much time to produce what I was producing.
Nice. So you started honing in on what, like different aspects of the business that you were going to try to improve?
Absolutely. So I got really strategic in labeling each item in each area of my business that brings where I need a skill set. And so whether it's my listing presentation, my buyer consultation, the whole preparation for the process, for my clients for the process, I really wanted to refine what I was doing on a day-to-day basis to create more room on my plate to live my life.
Nice. Yeah. So then you gradually started seeing the change, or like, I'm just curious to see like how did that transition go like that year? Was it kind of like immediate? Like how did it?
It probably was a couple of years. So the heart behind it was I had met with a friend who was in sales, and we talked business often. And so he just asked me what my next goal was. And I said, you know, my next goal is 50 again. And he's like, again, you don't want to grow it any higher. I was like, no, I want to do 50, but I want to do it in less time. And so that honing in the skill that I talked about earlier is I just paid attention to that. And I felt like over about 3 years, I got better and better at doing what I do. And then there was a transitional point. Part of it had to do with the uplift as the market went to sleep about in 2008-09. It woke back up at the end of 12. Come 13, I had room on my plate by refining my business and the strategy and I approached it. And so when the business opened back up, the market opened back up in 13, it flourished.
Nice. So you prepared yourself to take advantage of the new market conditions by honing your craft in the down-ish time of the market.
Exactly. And I didn't quite know what was coming because I didn't know when the pickup was going to come. I just know that I freed room on my plate. And then when it came, it came.
Nice. Yeah, a lot of the podcasts, too, we talk about new realtors or realtors who might be struggling. And look, I know in 2024, there's a lot of people who are struggling this year. So maybe speak to a brand new realtor who's hearing this and is maybe they're doing a nice production every year, 40, 30, 40, 50 houses a year. And they're like, hey, I'd love to level up my volume, my production. What would you tell that realtor to start maybe doing to get the ball rolling, to kind of get on the path to maybe capitalizing on this opportunity in 2024?
If you're looking to grow your business, one of the things that I do for myself and that I'll help when I'm mentoring some folks here in the office is do a fair evaluation on yourself. Like rank yourself in the areas of business that and the skill sets that we need to do well. So, you know, it's a how are you at your listing presentations? How are you on your market analysis? How tight can you get in meeting the value of that? Your buyer presentations, your showing process, the follow-up, the prospecting, the conversion, all of it. Just lay it out on the table and give yourself a fair evaluation on where you rank yourself on a scale of 1 to 10. I'm a 3 in this, I'm a 7, I'm an 8, I'm really, really good at this. And after you do that, go back and look at your smallest or your lowest ranking value and say, okay, that's the thing I'm going to hone on for the next 30 days. And then you take time each week to spend doing that, research it, listen to podcasts like this one, go back at your database. I'm sure there's been lots of people cover items that would fit skill sets that need to be approved upon. Get on internet, just start looking and reading and grabbing resources that can help you grow in that one area. Then whenever you go back a month later to evaluate yourself, you may find that thing you worked on all month has improved, and now you're going to shift gears and work on something else in your business. And if you approach business from that aspect, you will continually get better over time. And you can imagine fast forwarding 5 years of doing that, you probably won't have any 3s on your list. Everything's going to be leveling up together equally, and so you'll have a strength and skill set that translates through all areas. All your tools will be sharpened, ready to get to work.
Yeah, for sure. So I think that's a common theme throughout our podcast, is that it's not just one thing that you can tell somebody, hey, this is exactly what you need to do to grow your business to an amazing level. It's a whole life change, looking at your business, growing your business, improving your whole life. Like, it's all relative, you know. Like, I'm looking at Scott right now and he's in amazing shape. I mean, I'm looking back at some of your old headshots here and you were a little heavier set back then. And this headshot, I'd have to imagine, is back when you were doing 50 houses
That's
a year.
About right,
okay,
yeah.
So we're gonna put the new, but he's in great shape right now, and he's chasing around a bunch of kids. So, you know, it's a whole life change, right? It's not just that one thing that you had done to really grow your business or give you some magic pill. We talk about the magic pill sometimes in the podcast, to where you just take that one pill and immediately you go from 50 to 100 houses a year. It's not like that. You know, you really took the time in the downtime of the market, and you honed your skills, you got better at certain things, you got better with your time and your time management, and sharpened the tool in a million different ways. So I love that. And that's great advice for realtors who are sitting around right now, listening to the podcast and saying, hey, I'd love to grow. I'd love to grow my business. And how did Scott, you know, grow his business through the years? So that's great advice. One thing I think that's awesome too is you don't even have social media at all. Not a Facebook page, not an Instagram. You do have one for the team, which we're going to post that, but they probably, I don't even know if anybody checks that, right?
We hadn't been utilizing it really well. So, I mean, we did. When Facebook first came out, I was at a closing. Like, this is, you know, I forget what year it was, but it was starting to snowball and turning into something. I was at a closing, and the agent mentioned what his GCI was from Facebook. And so I didn't really think he was telling the truth. I was like, hey, there's no way. I forget the number. So, but I leave that closing, and one of my best friends in the business said, you're not going to believe this. I just picked up a lead off Facebook. And I was like, oh, I opened up my Facebook that day. So I didn't know how to do it. I had to get somebody to help me. I'm not very techie. And so created a Facebook page and really loved it. All the things that I think that social media brings value is an insight into other people's lives. You get to share your experiences and all of that. I felt like for me in my journey, I spent too much time thumbing through it. I made a life decision at one point just to say, you know what, I'm getting off all the scrolling. I'm going to focus in on what's important to me, and that's spending quality time with my family and quality time with my clients. I just don't have time to sit there in front of a screen.
Yeah.
And so I took it out of my business, took it out of my life completely, and it hasn't had a negative impact in my business. And I think partly is some of the things we talked about already, is staying in touch with my clients on some level. You need to do it in whatever way you're doing it. And I would say if you're doing it on social media, continue, but don't lean solely on that.
Right, right. Yeah, you need to be having those phone conversations. I know I use a weekly email as part of my plan to grow my business and to stay in touch with my people as the one thing that I do consistently for my business every week. But yeah, not having social media, I think, is in my mind, I think, is wild, and that you've been able to continue to have this level of success that you've had without even really a social media presence, like, at all. I think that that's amazing. So I think that just comes back down to the conversations that you're having with your clients and everything else. So anything else on the topic of calls? Because I want people to get a ton of value from you from making calls, because I think as realtors, we really need to be making those calls. But let's talk about, maybe, are you calling for sell by owners? Are you calling expireds? Are you doing any kind of that kind of stuff, or mainly just past clients?
Past clients, database. So I think if you have a plan for sell by owners or expireds, then work it and work it well, right? I have not done that. I've dabbled in it from time to time, but most of my phone calls are spent calling my database, people that I know, people that know me, people that have chosen to work with me in the past. And so I'm really just trying to maintain relationship with them, and I think from doing that over time, it's been fruitful.
And now talk to us about, like, the volume of calls that you're making per month. Like, what would you say is, like, the volume that you're putting in every day? Is there a target?
At least 10 calls a day, sometimes more, sometimes less, but that's the target, to hit at least 10 phone calls a day, and it's to general prospecting phone calls. And so other than that, you know, if other people come to mind, I'm not going to stop to call. If I've got time, I'm in the car driving. Kind of a weird thing about me is I don't watch a lot of television. I don't scroll to YouTube. Obviously, I don't have Facebook. I don't listen to the radio, and I don't read the newspaper, or none of that.
Probably so, better off for that.
Yeah, you know, so while I'm in the car, I don't listen to music. I'm on the phone talking. I'm spending some time just having some nice quiet time, or I'm on the phone generating.
Yeah, nice. So tell us a little bit about the family life. How are you juggling the family life too? Because I know that's important to you. Because not only are you doing an amazing production, but you're also balanced, and you have a nice family life. So tell us a little bit about the family life and how that's going.
I'm blessed to be married. My wife is a rock star. So she stays at home, thankfully, and she, you know, with 13 kids, and she homeschools, and so she does a lot. And so it's that's definitely something that I'm thankful for. I just like to spend time with my family. And so the purpose of not having another screen time I mentioned before is that I want to get into the office and get my work done. I want to be 100% on when I'm working, so that I'm off, I can be 100% off. And I failed in that in my early years of trying to grow my business. But part of that refining process, a big why behind that was I wanted to have a life worth living, and not to be solely committed to real estate. And I would say I was giving majority of my time to real estate for a piece of my career.
Yeah, absolutely. And you, when we were visiting for breakfast, you were telling me, yeah, sometimes you would go home, cook dinner, and, you know, hammer out another 18 things after you finished cooking dinner. And it's like you're home, but you're halfway home, and you really weren't, you were letting the business run your life.
Absolutely. And it's that. So it was that. My wife actually pulled me aside. What penetrated my a pivotal piece in my life, in my career as far as a realtor, and also my life, was that I was working so much. Her way to communicate it, what to me was, she said she felt like a single mom with incredible alimony. And so it pierced me. I heard exactly what she was saying. So I told myself, I need to figure this out.
Yeah, you got it. You got to get this sorted out, right?
And I feel like, you know, in a way, I joke, I feel like I hacked the system. I work less hours today, physically and mentally, selling what I'm selling now than what I did 15 years ago.
Wow.
So it's the input-output thing I'd mentioned is it's a good balance of how much I pour into the business, and then how much time I'm allowed to have off and spend time with my family to travel and hang out and not have to carry that workload home with me each day.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, so you were a second generation realtor, and your mom just did amazing production. and she was able to show you a couple things and really just jumpstart your career. So tell us about your mom and all that stuff and where she's at in the team and everything now.
Absolutely. So she was the rainmaker. It all began with her, at least for me, getting started in this business. So I was in the military, and when I got out, I transitioned quickly over here, and it was really to just do the next thing. And so I didn't know that this was going to be the career that it turned out to be, and I'm super thankful. But getting started new in the business, I was blessed to have a mentor of someone that had figured out her path. And so I rode on her coattails for the first couple of years of just being able to glean a lot of good value and teaching and apprenticeship under her. Her motto, you can tell quickly if you get around her, she values people over the dollars. And so she told me early on, look, don't follow the money. Some people follow the GCI, like I mentioned earlier, and if you do, that's okay. I was taught in growing this business, what resonates with me, the way that I do it, is just value the people that you're working with, work hard, and stay in touch with them. And so that was her method early on, and it's the method that I carries through my business now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know we talk about having a mentor and everything a lot on the podcast, and certainly you're better off for having your mom as your mentor starting off early in the business. So that's great that you were able to take that from her, because you can definitely see that you've been able to take that and apply that to your business for sure. So talk to us a little bit about, you know, how you operate, you know, your vibe and everything else like that. So talk to us a little bit about that.
Okay. I'm pretty laid back. I mean, and as far as my approach to life and the day, in one hand, on the other hand, I'm super rhythmic in the way that I live. And so before I go to bed each night, something simple, but I process my entire day. I go through every text, every email, every voicemail. I look at the calendar for the day upcoming and the day after that. And then I strategize and make a plan. I spend about 15 minutes a night just going through and creating tomorrow's plan of attack. And so the benefit in doing that is that I hit the ground running. I don't have a whole lot of wasted time. I don't have to wake up, and I don't have to go to sleep with those things on my mind. I get to decompress and unload all that onto paper. And then when I wake up in the morning, I hit the ground running. If a curveball gets thrown at me and I get a flat tire or something crazy happens, I can deal with that. And then I can zero back in on my list and get it done.
Nice, nice. Let's talk about investing in your business, because that's a thing that's super important to you. You put dollars back in. So tell us what that looks like for you.
I take generally about, it's 10% of that money that comes in gets reinvested into the business. And so that it shows up in mail outs that are done, as in outdoor advertising. We shift money to and fro with social media. When I was working that, I did social pushes and paid Facebook, and we did all that. Now, like I said, magazine AdWorks is another great tool if anybody's used that before. It's a way that will market straight to whoever you put in your database. You'll just sort of randomly pop up on their screen when they're on Google or searching on random websites. You'll pop up as one of those ads like we always get. Whatever it is that you're doing, I think it's one of the things that a lot of agents don't do. They get up and work every day and look for the transactions to help people buy and sell homes. But reinvesting some of that money back in their business to help grow them and set them apart from the other realtors in town.
Nice, nice. One thing also, too, that sets you apart is referrals. I know you send out a lot of referrals, mm-hmm. and you get a lot of referrals as well. I know I've sent you a ton. Yeah,
absolutely.
And as a partner here in a city that's close by. But let's talk about referrals for a minute. So you send out a lot of referrals. You even told me you think you had like what? Quite a bit already this year, already coming through.
Yeah, well, I've received several, and I've sent out seven for sure. So my goal is to send out 10 referrals a year. And so because when you have a goal, I'm very goal-oriented. And so when I have a goal, then I have, there creates purpose and a why, and my ear is tuned to hear this. And so if I hear somebody looking to that's moving to anywhere, to Timbuktu, even if we're at a ball field talking, I'll engage conversation with them. And the conversation, whether it's with a client or just somebody just on the street at a party, at the pool, whatever, is, you know, have you picked out an agent for whatever place you're moving to? And if they have not, I would say, rather than picking a name out of a hat, I've got a way to help select an agent, a quality agent for you in any town. I can look for longevity in business, volume. Just look at it from almost a resume standpoint to get somebody that aligns with the way that we do business. Would that be of something of interest to you? And almost always they say yes if they haven't found anybody. And then I do take the time to do the research and sort of pick through the market, isolate agents. I usually bring it down to about two agents, and then I call and interview both of them just to vibe it to see who I feel like is going to be a good fit. And then I get everybody connected. So that whole process takes about 30 minutes, but you know what the return per hour on something like that is, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, that's awesome. So I guess we're getting a little bit close on time. So I guess tell us one more thing. If I'm a new agent and I'm listening to this thing, or maybe somebody who's getting discouraged here with 2024 and is looking for ways to grow their business, give us one more way that maybe they can continue to grow their business.
I've kind of accumulated all this together. Again, I would, if you were right here right now in front of me, I would show you the list that I have. And it's a daily plan and a daily action of getting something done to invest in your business. And so when you have a lot of business going on, you have inspections and closings and calls, inspections, closings, listing appointments, showings, the whole nine yards. And so it can fill up a whole day. But if you find yourself with a day that doesn't have those on the list, there's a whole lot of things you can put on your list. And this is where the investment side of your business can come in. That doesn't necessarily cost money. It's a time. And so that's the growing in those skill sets we talked about. That's knocking on doors. I know that I haven't done that, but I've seen agents do that and do well. That is something like you putting together an email to go out once a week. That's something that brings value. I would say that as a newer agent, or even an agent that's been in this for a long time that is struggling or has extra time on their hands, don't spend the time complaining about what the market's not doing. Step into it and use the time you have available to you to grow your business.
Yeah, absolutely. Because closings happen every day. There are closings that are happening every day. And I don't care what they say, every day there's a closing in the United States.
Absolutely.
And probably every day there's a closing in Baton Rouge.
And in Lafayette as well, or yeah, whatever market you're in, they're happening. Somebody's getting them. And so it's, I think when you're super busy, you don't have time to work on these things. So there are areas, a veteran in the business of 26 years doing the volume I'm doing, I still have room for growth. And so when I'm super busy and running hard, I don't have the time, or I don't take the time to spend growing in areas that I still need growth in. But when things slow down, instead of just sitting back and relaxing, I can take a minute of that, but I'm just not wired to sit too long. As then I'll dive back in and go, all right, where are you in this area? What can I improve on in this area? And so a slow market can create an opportunity for you to grow, free room on your plate, refine your skill set, that when the market changes, you're ready to flourish.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so that's awesome, man. And even one thing we chatted about at the restaurant is, I know you don't use social media, and I kind of explained how I use social media, and it's kind of like in reverse, right? You take Facebook and you look at it and you see, hey, you know, my friends just had a new baby. That's my reason for my call. You know, call, congratulate them on the new baby, that kind of stuff. So I kind of shared that with you, how I use social media.
I love it.
And that was a good way to really make the phone conversations intentional. And I know we're both phone guys, and we like to chat with our people on the phone, and we make a lot of phone calls every week. So that was a good way, you know. But I guess also just to kind of close it out is, you know, if you're not well-versed on making calls, but you know you need to do something to grow your business, mm-hmm, like what would you say would be a good strategy for like phone conversations? Or maybe let's talk about too, what would be a good way to call somebody that you know you needed to call, but you forgot to call, and now we're a couple, 2 years late in the business, and now you need to call them. So yeah, Tell us maybe one more thing about calls.
Calls, I would say, implement now, right? I would say if moving forward, be intentional about having a post-sale conversation within the first 30 days of closing. And you can do that, but when you're at the closing, put in your phone, call so-and-so, call Mr., you know, call Mike, Mr. Mike, and just put a 30-day kick in your calendar. And so when 30 days comes, it's going to pop up, and then you can call Mr. Mike. You can do that at every closing you're at. So now moving forward, you have an intentional approach on how you're having post-sale conversations. Talking to them 1 month after closing opens the door to talk to them 6 months after closing, 1 year after closing, 2 years. You're a guy that calls them after the closing. It's not a random call 2 years later. And so you can call things to bring value at the beginning of that would be remind them to file for homestead. For your sellers, you keep a copy of the seller CD in your file, or at least somewhere in the cloud. So you can say if your CPA doesn't have a copy of that, you'll be happy to provide it. Hardly anybody takes you up on it, but you're just still calling and offering things of value to them. About the vendors that we talked about earlier. If times pass by, back to your question, if it's been a couple years, you're like, man, I just hadn't called this guy, and I just don't get over feeling weird about it. Just call him and say you're thinking about him. Hey, I drove by your house the other day, or you just popped into my mind, and I thought I'd give you a call to see how things are going. And at the end of it, just thank them for the trust they put in you to be their realtor. And if you can ever help them with anything in the future, please don't hesitate to reach out. That's more relational and has to do more focused on them than closing at the end of that going, by the way, send me somebody or send me if you have a referral, that sort of thing.
Yeah. And I love that you don't ask for that specifically. I love that you kind of just leave it like as a value call. You're just bringing some sort of value. You're not asking them, hey, can I have some real estate business? You're saying, hey, I'm just connecting with you. I'm seeing how you're doing. I'm offering something of value.
It's going to come. If you're building relationship with them, they're going to want to refer you the business. So I think that's a given. So just build valued relationships. If you see, and you don't have to spend a lot of money doing this, but I've got a rule that I live by. If I see a client at a restaurant, if I'm walking in the restaurant and they're sitting down, I'm going to order them a dessert because I feel like they've already ordered their meal. If I'm sitting in the restaurant and they sit down, I'll order them an appetizer. I used to pick up the whole tab, but it gets a little expensive. So, and then you got to wait for it. It's too much going on. So if you can just order them a little something, spend $10, $15, it's a great way. And then, tell them goodbye when you're leaving the restaurant. They'll know it's from you, and there'll be an expression of gratitude coming from them later on.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah, I love it, Scott. Thank you so much for being on the podcast with us and all your encouragement through the years, because I know you've been a great referral partner for me and a friend in a different market. So I appreciate your friendship and everything. I'm so glad to get your story down on the podcast, and I'm sure that you'd be open to a phone call if a realtor has it struggling or needs a little encouragement.
Absolutely.
So they can go find you. Maybe not on social media.
You won't find me there. Feel free to give me a call. I enjoy what I do, and I enjoy helping others. So I'd be happy to help anybody out. Don't hesitate to call.
Awesome. Thank you, brother. Well, that we're going to wrap it up with that. We're coming live from Baton Rouge, Louisiana with Scott Gaspard. So thank you so much, Scott. We really appreciate you joining us on the podcast. And if you guys are enjoying the content and you're enjoying what you're hearing, make sure you go ahead and like our podcast and give us a positive review, because we're trying to grow this thing, man, bring a ton of value. So Scott, thanks again, my brother.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for what you're doing. This is awesome.
Yeah, no worries. And I hope that you guys have an amazing day.